All right, Luke 16, verse 22. We still have a couple more scriptures that we want to talk about Abraham's bosom. Go to, we didn't have to go there, but go to... let's just look at a couple places. Go to Job 31. I think we looked at this one, but I just want to make sure we already did. Job is justifying himself before God in this chapter, but verse 29, if I rejoiced at the destruction of him that hated me, or lifted up myself when evil found him.
Job 31, 29.
Oh, okay, thanks.
If I rejoiced at the destruction of him that hated me, excuse me, or lifted up myself when evil found him, neither have I suffered my mouth to sin by wishing a curse to his soul. If the men of my tabernacles said not, oh, that we had had of his flesh, we cannot be satisfied. The stranger did not lodge in the street, but I opened my doors to the traveler. If I covered my transgression as Adam by hiding mine iniquity in my bosom. I think we talked about this, didn't we? If I hide my transgression as Adam, what's it saying?
I think we may
have. Or hiding mine iniquity in my bosom.
We may have talked about it
the other scriptures,
but not, I don't remember us going to this scripture.
How did he hide his iniquity in his bosom? Instead of confessing it, he hid.
He hid.
Now remember, when iniquity is used, it's called self-seeking. And it is by definition sin and trespass, but it just has a separate word for it because it represents the fall of Adam. If I covered my transgression as Adam by hiding mine iniquity in my bosom, in other words, instead of confessing it, it's justified. The culture of American Christianity, whether they preach the prosperity or not, is that God wants you to do well. And so it justifies your iniquity. It justifies your self-seeking. Iniquity is the fruit of the fall. The fruit of grace is laying down your life for others continually. All right, let's go to Isaiah 65. Does everybody understand that? Isaiah 65, are we there? I am sought of them that ask not for me. I am found of them that sought me not. I said, behold me unto a nation that was not called by my name. Or unto people is all it means. I have spread out mine hands all the day unto a rebellious people, which walked in a way that was not good after their own thoughts. They walked in a way that was not good because it was after their own thoughts. Everybody understand that? A people that provoketh me to anger continually to my face, that sacrificeth in the gardens and burneth incense upon altars of brick. We don't do that outwardly anymore. We do it inwardly. We burn incense by giving breath to things in time and space. We worship. We love anything except God. We think that we can love God in other things. We can't. Burneth incense upon altars of brick which remain among the graves and lodge in the monuments, while eating swine's flesh and broth of abominable things is in their vessels, which say, stand by yourself, come not near to me, for I am holier than thou. These are smoke in my nose and a fire that burneth all the day. Behold, it is written before me, I will not keep silence, but will recompense, even recompense, into their bosoms. This is why confession is so critical, and that's why we've talked about it so much the last few days. Otherwise, it will be recompensed into your own bosom. All right? Your iniquities and the iniquities of your fathers together, saith the Lord, which have burned incense upon the mountains and blasphemed me upon the hills. Therefore I will measure their former work into their bosom. Thus saith the Lord, as the new wine is found in the cluster, and one saith, destroy it not, for a blessing is in it, so will I do for my servants' sake, that I may not destroy them all. And I will bring forth the seed out of Jacob and out of Judah as an inheritor of my mountains, and mine elect shall inherit it. My servants shall dwell there. And the seed that he brought forth was Jesus Christ. He found no man. All right, let's go to Jeremiah 32.
Just notice that this next scripture, the Valley of Achor, will be a place for the herds to lie down, and that's a place of hiding as well.
Yeah, well, it's a place, like the Valley of Achor is...
Right, it's a place where they rebelled and they hid the idols under the tent, their gold and silver that they had captured.
Well, one guy did it, and the whole nation was punished. That's why it's so critical to see that a Seder, we exhort one another daily while it's still called today, because each Seder is seen as one thing. In my Father's house are many Seders. All right, anybody have any response to any of that? Gary, you're chewing, both mentally and physically.
That's a pretty good system, actually.
The chewing?
That works, too.
Just one part of this thought, how perfect it is, because no man is good, and everybody wishes somebody were good, wish their own self was good. But God already knows our heart, and it's already taken place.
All right, Jeremiah 32. I turned right to it. It's because I had a bookmark.
The spirit of running.
No, I had a bookmark then. Start in verse 16. This is, he's just purchased this field at Anathoth. I don't want to go into all that right now because I've forgotten some of it. So, but anyway, this is, it's verse 16. It stands alone. Now, when I had delivered the evidence of the purchase unto Baruch, the son of Neriah, I prayed unto the Lord, saying, Ah, Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heaven and the earth by thy great power and stretched out arm, and there is nothing too hard for thee. Thou showest loving kindness unto thousands, and recompense the iniquity of the fathers into the bosom of their children after them. The iniquity of the fathers is recompensed into the bosom of the children that follow after them. What does that mean? It means the fall is endemic to every man that is born. He has no choice. We walk then according to the prince of the power of the air. That's what our mind is. That's what our thoughts are. No matter how religious we think we might be, as long as we're walking after our own thoughts, then he's going to continue recompensing the iniquity of our fathers into our own bosom. Amen? All right, that's enough. Fundamentally, the bosom in Jewish literature and Muslim literature, Christian, the bosom is always a metaphor for paradise, for heaven. All right, back to Luke 16. Anybody have any response to any of this? That's why death is so critical for you. You have to see, well, we'll study that in a minute. Well, let's just start again. There was, in verse 19, there was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus which laid at his gate full of sores and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. And the rich man also died. And was buried. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torment. And seeing Abraham afar off, he and Lazarus, far off, and Lazarus in his bosom. Now, there's a first death and there's a second death. The first death is we were born dead. Because we were born separated from God because of the fall. And the first death is separation from God. The second death is the physicality of death. The first one is represented in the physicality of it, is represented in your baptism. You're buried in that baptism. And so the new creature comes forth that is no longer separate because it's Christ in you. Because you're buried at the second death. Believers aren't subject to unless they return. Let's look at, it says as he is in the world, so are we. What did he do in the world? What was the first 30 years? We only know what was said at his birth. The next we know what was said at his bar mitzvah. And then the next thing we find out, he's in baptism. As Son of Man, it was everything that took place up until his baptism. In that, he went through everything that we do and sinned not. He was tested in all the ways exactly as we are. But then at his baptism, he was resurrected when he came out of the water, and now the Son of Man, part of him, was dead. Now the test was no longer anything about Son of Man. The test was, will he continue with him in the temptation that God wants, or will he return to think he's being tempted in some way in his mind? We know of the three, or maybe it's four, but there's three or four places where he felt the temptation and then he spoke it. The first one was that in John 12, when he began to know that this incredible death and descending into hell and everything and suffering was about to take place, he said, "Father, my soul is troubled. What shall I say? Deliver me from this," which he could have said, and he would have been delivered. But no. "For this hour came I into the world." The second one was in the Garden of Gethsemane. He's sweating blood. And he said, "Father, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless," he denied it. And he got rid of it. He confessed it. "Not my will. Not my will, but thine." The next time, he yells out on the cross, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" He felt the fullness of that separation. But he didn't ask to be not be forsaken. He cried out. And then he went down into the depths of hell with he had all the power that he was born, that he had now and he has now. With one breath, with one click of his fingers, he could have destroyed all of hell, raised everybody that he thought was okay to be raised. He could have destroyed pain, destroyed suffering, destroyed hunger, destroyed poverty. But he couldn't do that. He had to be, his only weapon was his obedience through the whole thing. Now, when we are baptized, we are baptized as the same way as any relationship to man. We are baptized and buried. And what's resurrected is Christ alone. He alone has immortality. we, then, are they that continue with him in his test. Our warfare is over. His test. What was his test?
Obedience.
To move away from the will of God, i.e. the bride, back to, towards the mankind. So the question is, are you continuing with him in his test? Or are you still dealing with yours? And it's all right. I mean, it's whatever it is. But don't think that anything that has to do with flesh anymore has anything to do with his test. That's your test, which was buried, supposedly. So in a nutshell, that's the doctrine into which we've been delivered. And it's a hateful, it's an offense to everything that there is in our minds. Because the basis of everything in our mind is self for self, and self for my own, I mean self for me and mine. Think on these things. We'll continue tomorrow. If the creek don't rise. Amen? Anything, anybody else?
I don't know why it's coming to me, but that pilot that was burned alive.
No, that's just that's crazy.
Yeah,
that's. Did you see where they threw gas on him in that clip?
I didn't see the clip. I didn't want to see it. I mean, I can imagine.
There's something you talked about. Oh, when he was baptized, it was like that was his death.
As Son of Man.
As Son of Man. And yet when he's on the cross, he cries out as Son of Man.
It's again, there are three times when he was tempted to pay attention to Son of Man. But he didn't.
Well, when he cried out, it was like he...
Again, he could have in that moment got himself off the cross, been healed completely, and destroyed everybody in that second. But he said, "My God, why hast thou forsaken me?" and accepted it. Because he knew there was a will of God.
And he accepted it, huh?
Obviously, otherwise we wouldn't be here. But he showed the weakness of us in that, in even though with those few times that he did pay attention to his mind. But his response was confession, and then it was over. Because with the confession came repentance. And the repentance on the cross was he didn't get himself off the cross. He had all power in heaven and earth. All things were made by him and created by him and for him. There's nothing in human nature that can know anything about his temptation. That's why we as humans must, our humanity must die. We must see our burial. So we can continue with him in his test instead of what we think is ours. It's settled forever that the flesh can't be saved. All right, take a big guy.